Hello, welcome to the F1 show. We're here, bit late, bit aborted attempt earlier in the week, awfully sorry, to discuss the Hungarian Grand Prix from the Hungaro Ring. Joining me to discuss it all, the usual panel, sans Mr. Woods, who's still on Olympic driving duty. Draw your own conclusions from that. But top left, Tony Blunt. How's it going, mate?
Hello. I'm good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, did you enjoy the race?
We'll get on to that later.
Ooh! It sounds like Tony may not be a satisfied customer then with FOM.
Quite possibly not.
Quite possibly not. Oh God, call me Mystic Meg. Next to him, who would never be so rude as to say that Bernie's horrible, Mr. Steve Neighbour.
I don't think I'd value my life too much to say that Bernie Ecclestone is horrible.
He probably does have a killer squad out there, doesn't he?
But somebody's taking him to court at the moment, aren't they? There's some court action going on with Bernie, but I'm not going to talk any more about it.
Oh, no.
Why did you set me up by just saying that and then putting over to me? You're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
What, because you're too nice to talk about Bernie?
Would he do that, Steve?
Oh, God, where did that come from?
Sarah.
God, Sarah's been drinking again.
Moi?
You're never like this on the big show. You're all professional on the big show.
Oh, come off it.
So that's not a good scale for you.
What?
That was a bit Macbeth.
Ah.
See, I've been watching you over the last hour or so because you've done big before this show. And then you're all sensible.
I'm warmed up for the F1 show.
You're all sensible. And then you disappear for a quick 10 minutes. I don't know what you've done in that 10 minutes, but you've turned into a beast, animal.
It wasn't 10 minutes.
It takes you five, does it?
It's the Jekyll and Hyde character of me, you see.
It was a McLaren pit stop. It only took a few seconds.
Yeah, 2.4 seconds for a pit stop.
Good, fast.
And it was a pit stop as well. Probably more information needed to know, but it was.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The news in F1 then this week. First one is that Jensen and Mr. Hamilton will be together next year at McLaren. No change. They've signed contracts, I think, or is at least agreed in principle. Yes, no?
Go on, Sarah.
That caught me completely on the hop. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they've signed up and they're going to be there next year. And also, Webber and Vettel are confirmed at Red Bull, so for at least another year. Definitely. De La Rosa with HRT, not so sure. Still no word on that one at the moment.
What about the mad crazed lunatic that drives into people?
You mean Mr. Maldonado?
Can you narrow it down?
Could be any of them, couldn't he, at the moment?
Can you narrow it down? Yeah.
Well, I was going to let someone else on the panel tell me who the mad, crazed one who drives into people is.
Maldonado.
Let's see, who else could that be? Juan Pablo Montoya?
Well, Kobayashi Maru did drive into his mechanics, didn't he? So he's got a fair bit.
That's true.
So are you talking about Maldonado? If there's no wall around, I'll find a car.
Well, I was actually talking about Massa.
Massa's not driven into anyone this year.
Tosh?
No, not this year.
No.
But he can't be staying at Ferrari, can he?
You think? I don't think they've signed and sealed it, unless anyone can tell me different.
I mean, there was talks, I think it was of Perez, looking at, telling Ferrari, can you make a decision, please, so I know whether, I'm going to be either with you guys or somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like some certainty, definitely, but I'm not sure that they've ditched Maldonado yet, because there's a bit of me makes me think that Maldonado is actually someone that they keep around because he's a good wingman at times for Alonso.
Senna.
Hey, no, Senna drives for. Maldonado. I'm talking about Massa. Massa's a good wingman for my fault.
Alonso.
Massa's always been a good wingman at Ferrari, whoever he was partnering,
So,
is it worth $20 million a year just to keep someone around so that they can keep your $30 million a year driver at the top of the table?
Well, he's had one good performance, and to be honest, if he was doing half decent, Ferrari would be winning the Constructors' Championship now, and that's where the money is, so it's not worth it. End of. If he doesn't start performing, he's gone.
I mean, good statement from iBookery in the chat room. He's saying if Ferrari don't sign Massa and they dropped him like a hot potato, who's going to sign him and how far would he fall? So, I mean, are you talking about he falls out of Formula One or are you talking about he falls to HRT, Force India?
I think on current form, I think he'd struggle to get a seat.
Well, if Barrichello did, you know, I know looking at leaving anyway, but if Barrichello sort of dropped out of F1 after last year, you know, due to Williams' decisions, then it's not looking good for Massa, is it really?
Not at all. Not at
no. There's so many young drivers with plenty of talent now that. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but Massa's had his chance.
Well, yeah. Who would you like to see go to Ferrari then instead of Massa then?
Paul D'Aresta.
Oh. Yeah.
I just said Perez at the moment, but...
Really? You think they'd punt on Perez?
Yeah. I thought Luca de Montezemolo had already dismissed the idea of it being him.
Well, it may have done, but...
Did he?
But
all right.
We're in our fantasy F1 here, not what he wants. The team manager's got nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah, what do they know?
This is dream team time.
No, I think it should be Paul D'Aresta.
Chat room, who would you have?
I quite like the phrase fantasy F1. I've got my mind thinking about who I'd like to be in the car. The reasons for it.
Would you like a two-seater? Or would you like a back-seater?
Well, will this channel need a 10-minute preview at midnight?
Good point. And you've got to subscribe to Sci Sports to get it. No, I mean, I think Webber would have been good at Ferrari. I think he'd have been a great second driver for them. Failing that, D'Aresta, I think, is a good call. I like that idea.
The reason I think D'Aresta is good is because it's only his second year in F1. Alonso's obviously not going to be around forever, and they can develop D'Aresta into a good talent while, you know, and give him a decent drive, and he can learn from Alonso while Alonso's still there.
Yeah,
seems perfect.
Booker in the chat room says he'd laugh heartily if Ferrari re-signed Schumacher, which I can't.
So would
I. Happen.
That would be great.
That was the other rumour, though, wasn't it, going around this week? Kimi back to Ferrari.
I can't see that. I can't
either, because apparently there was some bad blood between Ferrari and Kimi.
I think F1 teams are like banks. You sign up with your bank, and then you have a dispute over some charges, and then you say, right, stuff it, I'm closing my account, and you take your money elsewhere, and then you never go back to that bank, and you find one that you stick with that you never have any disputes with, and then you stay with them.
Unless your name's Alonso.
And cell phone providers as well. That's exactly what it's like.
Unless your name's Alonso, because he went back to Renault, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, that was a pity move, wasn't it?
It was. It was a straight swap, you know, because of the issues with Hamilton.
Yeah, he wanted out of McLaren. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been drinking?
Me? Why?
Driving for an F1 team is like what, in a bank?
No, it's like banks and cell phone providers. You go with one until you get pissed off with them, and then you go somewhere else, and you never go back. If you leave an F1 team with bad blood, they never go back to them, I don't think.
Phones can you drive, Steve?
How many what?
How many phones can you drive?
That's my mind. I was trying to think.
I'd like
so
it
you don't
if
think
O2
Schumacher
paid.
Would ever go back to... There must be a driver who's gone back to a team.
No, but not with bad blood.
But that was like more to get out of McLaren than...
Not if there's bad blood. I think that's it. Eternal.
BBC News are reporting that D'Aresta is the favourite to go to Ferrari for 2013.
Yeah. The only thing you can say, though, is that the Force India car, I know it's not doing as well as they want to in the Constructors' Championship, but it's a very competitive car. And this weekend, there was a few real turnips. I mean, Hülkenberg made the grid. D'Aresta posted a second fastest lap in Q1, didn't he? So, you know, the car's clearly got something there. It's just, you know, trying to get that reliability and functionality and setup to work in the race. And that's where they kind of slip a little bit.
You think
it's one of a few teams in that situation, really, I think.
Yeah, they're on the edge of being the next Mercedes.
They made some changes as well this week. They put some nice little flutes in the backside of their fin for the back of the car. What do you call that thing? The rear...
Exhaust?
Rear wing. There we go. Rear wing. And it's just a couple little ducks at the side. The one thing I noticed on this picture, though, is that there's like a whale tail sticking up in the centre. I've never noticed that before. I didn't know if that was new or not. And I've Googled a couple of images, but I can't find one where it...
The whale, yeah.
It clearly shows it.
We spoke about the whale tail last time.
What, the little did. No, the little sticky up bit. Not
yeah.
Really?
It was just slightly different design, wasn't it? And that was on the McLaren, wasn't it?
It was on...
I've done Force India 2012.
Get the pictures up from last show.
I hate that.
There was a tail on there, and it looked identical to that.
It was hollow in the middle. That was the only thing, Steve, I think.
I must have been putting the wrong title in, because I've just put in Force India 2012, and every frigging picture's got that little thing in it. I must have Googled the wrong year or something stupid. What an arse.
They're like banks.
They're like
all
banks.
The same.
They're all the flutes are the same. Mercedes changed their front wing as well to make it downforcier. Yet again,
Forcier. I like that.
There's the subtle changes just on the Petronas bit that goes down. They've just sculpted that in a little bit. I can't see what that's going to do, but it didn't make any difference because they didn't do so well. And Mercedes McLaren have also finished off their little changes with a slight change at the back end to the, I think it was where it looked like it had been sat on, and it's sat on a little bit further now.
Do you know if Vettel is still driving Kylie?
Pardon?
Well, Vettel's been driving Kylie, hasn't he?
That's what he calls his chassis, isn't it?
Well, he calls his car Kylie because it's got a tight back end.
Ooh.
Oh.
No, he does.
I thought that was last year's chassis was...
No, it's Luscious Liz or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm so out of touch with what Vettel's car is called.
You know those little screens that they've got around the front of the cockpits? Are you going to get something in there that says, you know, like Mark on one side and Kylie on the other?
Well, Kylie would be a good driver, wouldn't she? She'd be nice and small, fit in the car and fine in...
She's jockey-like. Yeah,
to see F1.
She's jockey-like.
The thing is, you know, how the other year that it had Kate and Kate's dirty sister, would you have... You know, if they have to redevelop the Red Bull, would it be Danny?
I think this is turning into a completely different show.
Yeah, you've lost me on Kate's dirty sister. If it's not Pippa,
but that's from the other year.
I can't believe you've insulted Pippa and Bernie Eccleston in the same show.
You're
going to have the knock on Mr. Egbert.
My card's marked.
Yeah, I won't be on the show anymore, folks. You know, just be disappeared.
I may not be working next week because both legs may be in plaster. Mm. And I might have my kneecaps reattached. Right, so here was the forecast. It's going to piss down Friday. And it kind of did, didn't it? I mean, it was a proper heavens opening day. A few flashes of thunder as well at times. And would you say it was effectively pointless Friday? I don't know what they get from running around in the wet, even with the sensors out there. I can't see that they gauge anything from the activity.
Other than literally the experience, you know, getting the experience of what it's like on a slippery track more than you're getting a normal race weekend.
Well, the problem is that the forecast was it's going to piss down on Sunday, and so they were thinking, well, you know, what we're going to do here is learn for the Grand Prix on Sunday. But yet again, despite a forecast of rain, it turned out to be gorgeously sunny, and then the rain came after
about an hour after, was it, something like that?
Yeah,
not even an hour.
And also, in practice, I mean, we're just talking in free practice here, Shuey decided to drive straight on into a wall. And I've got no idea why.
He had a bad weekend, really, didn't he?
It wasn't great.
He had a terrible weekend.
He's not had many great weekends this season at all, though.
Well, he's had a podium, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's had a third. Monaco? No?
I thought it was in the UK, actually.
I can't remember. And that was it. There we go. That was it. But beautifully sunny. Here's Lewis on the final day driving around the Hungaro Ring in baking hot sunshine. Track temperatures were up and the McLarens performed really well. Jensen was flying pretty high for quite a while and then just lost out to Kimi at the end. Good. What's caused the turnaround here? You can't tell me that those three little fins on the top of the intakes have meant that these things go that fast. Unless... Of course, Martin Widmarsh pulling everyone into the garage to show them what the physical changes are is for them to go, oh, look, those little three little things have actually done it, and they've actually done something under the hood that's far, far better.
Yeah, something under the hood and also practicing those pit stops has really helped.
2.3 seconds last week, 2.4 this week.
They did have fun.
Massive improvement, didn't it, from their previous form on those?
Yeah, I mean, they were having a nightmare scenario. They went through a series of having weekends where there was always going to be a problem with one or other of the car, and it was just killing their chances.
Yeah, it lost some races. You know, you could tell that it actually lost some races wins in the end.
And the final qualifying then, it was Lewis was on pole, and that's the way it stayed all the way through. I mean, Tone, you're saying you're not happy, so go on, explain your frustration to us at this Grand Prix that makes you feel...
Well, it was the actual race. It was like being back in the processional days more so. You know, it's like the guy won from pole. He was never really challenged.
No.
You know, but, all right, yeah, Lewis did fantastic, you know, through practice and through qualifying. He topped nearly enough every session.
Well, he was half a second clear in qualifying, wasn't he, from anyone else?
He was just hooked up. I don't think it was necessarily processional. I think it was just that Lewis was had completely sorted it out for this weekend, and he was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether how much the others were banking on rain or anything like that, but it'd be stupid just to purely bank on that and nothing else in the whole weekend.
Now, the other thing that happened on the qualifying was Grosjean hitting two on the grid. I mean, that was a really, really superb effort. I mean, he flew. He really flew. Something's going on with the Lotus as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They've got a win coming soon. They're
long overdue. Yeah. One or both of them.
He's been close, though, hasn't he? Grosjean has been well up in the standings, and then he's crashed it. Something's gone wrong. He's had a puncture. You know, he hasn't had a lot of
like Vettel,
the alternator thing yet. So, I mean, he's shown he's got the form. He can do it, but there's always something that just seems to step up and stop him.
Mm.
I mean, if anything, there's been times where he's outraced Kimi. I mean, this is the first time I can really remember Kimi finishing ahead. Where they started around the same positions. You know?
But I think Kimi started on five, finished second. Grosjean finished third as a result. Raikkonen, I thought, just had a very, very cagey race. He was like a vulture hanging around in the back of, or an eagle hanging around in the back of the, and just picking people off when it suited him. He didn't seem under pressure. He was just...
That's Kimi's style, though.
Exactly. And it's paid him well this season.
It's good to see the Lotuses do well, actually. It's good season for the middle of the order teams this year. They're kind of really picking up.
One of the things I really like, and you saying about Kimi there, is that he seems to have the same hunger that you had in 2007 when he was chasing down Lewis for the title and ended up pipping him by a point. He seems to have that hunger, and which is great considering it's his first season back, and he's just come into that car. And he's great that he's come at a time when the Renault stroke now Lotus is actually really performing. It's great to watch. I really enjoy watching him.
Yeah. And even his own teammate has been keeping him really honest all season as well, it has to be said. You know, so there's something, there is something about that car that both drivers can extract the maximum out of it. It's been brilliant to watch.
Yeah,
there was a section in the middle of the race where they were actually sort of racing each other, wasn't there? And then I think Bullier, they interviewed him after, and he said, he wasn't giving an opinion on them racing on track, but he was happy with the outcome that they didn't hit each other.
Yeah, that was Eric, I forgot his surname, the French guy, principal of Lotus.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about the pit lane exit from Raikkonen on lap 45.
I was talking to Steve this week about the Chinese girl with the swimming who's swum faster than Michael Phelps in the last 100 metres and who's improved on her personal best by 6 seconds in her final race to win the gold.
And a second on the world record as well.
Yeah, and there's a huge controversy now about, well, she must be a cheat to have improved that much. And
Now that you've done Eccleston.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done the royal families. Just before you go on to say something about the Chinese well.
It's a long list, Steve. On some we're crossing it off all tonight.
I figure by the end of the weekend, I'll have two broken legs and a kneecap, and it doesn't matter who does it.
Oh, well, you should have been listening to the big show, Steve. I upset the French.
Yeah, but the French are right. The Chinese, they don't speak English.
But you were saying about the swimmer.
Yeah, so you naturally think drugs are involved, you know, and I'm not saying there is. I'm not maligning her character at all. But there's a natural connotation, there's a linkage there. And if you look at F1 and you look at where the pace is coming from in these cars, you know, all of a sudden, McLaren goes from one week to the next, they've got pace in the car. You know, Jensen saying, there's no pace in the car. Where's everything going? I'm not keeping up with the opposition. There is no pace. And then next week, bang, there's pace. And you've got to think, what's gone on there? Because it's not Finns. You know, and Lotus has got pace from nowhere. Red Bull's suffering. And then all of a sudden, Red Bull is competing again. And then they found out it was the engine management thing. So now they've gone back to a bit more mediocrity because they haven't got that cyclic energy stuff.
And and you've got Vettel on the radio shouting out, do something!
You just think in here, there's got to be something going on.
Is Bernie playing with the knobs to make it a competitive race every time?
He wants to play with the sprinkler system and it didn't kick in this time.
Maybe that's why nobody, I don't know who it was talking about it a few weeks ago, saying that no one ever goes into his motorhome. Maybe he's got the controls in there for all the cars and he's just turning all these knobs to try and make it more competitive.
I don't like you today. I'm cutting your engine out. Yeah.
It's because he's got Max Mosley tied to a Black & Decker workbench and a bowl of water in front of his face.
With a mask on his face.
There's any reason no one wants, thank you.
Don't go there, guys.
Max, if you're watching, have one for me, mate.
That's number four, then.
We're just going through the list. I'm not going to give it away, but the trophy. How crap's the trophy?
Well, we haven't talked about the race yet.
No, I don't want to talk about the race. I just want to talk about the trophy. Millions and millions of pounds in advertising sponsorship. You pay to have the... They had no money left over for a decent trophy. That looks like it's been made on Blue Peter out of some crunched up tinfoil and super glue and then sprayed with gold paint afterwards. And when he lifted it up, the winner... And it's a he. I'm not giving anything away there. When he lifted it up, those tines were like wobbling.
Oh, right.
They were awful. It was a piece of crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised actually, because I thought the Hungarian trophy, I don't know if you remember from when Jensen won his first race in 2006, but it was like a cup that was ceramic that was white. And I thought that was the same trophy they used every year for that. So I'm surprised to see that.
It was awful. It was a dreadful trophy. Very disappointed. The race, then. It was won by Lewis. Start to finish. Just cruised through. No one got anywhere near him. There was no to-ing and fro-ing with the pit stops. There was no, will they make it out in time? He just killed everybody. And it's good, though, I think. I don't think it's boring, Tony.
I disagree with you, Tony.
Go on.
Fair enough.
I thought at four different points in that race, there was going to be four different winners.
Really?
Looking at my notes.
I really couldn't see that at all. I mean, I did tweet out a couple of times, you know, if it stays dry, Lewis win, no question, he's on it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was so convinced that Vettel was going to win because he was wearing his nice Ponzi gold helmet. That's going to guarantee him to win. And at one point you had... both of the Lotuses were challenging as well when the pit stops were happening.
Yeah,
I thought it was quite a good topsy-turvy race.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, if there'd been a McLaren issue in the pits, then maybe something might have happened. But I tend to, you know, think it was all Lewis this weekend. There was never anyone going to touch him. It was, you know, if Grosjean could have got past him at the first corner, then something might have happened. But once he got away, that was it. He was gone.
And I didn't think he was going to even do that, really, unless Lewis actually put a foot wrong, which he hadn't really, you know, all weekend up to that.
No.
So, you know, all right, behind there was lots of jostling for position, and I'm glad Lotus finished where they did. But, you know, the race for P1, didn't inspire me, I'm afraid.
It's the first time I've seen a false start. Was it? No, it wasn't a false start, but I've seen them when they sent them round again.
Yeah, it's because of Shuey had a problem.
His blowout. Yeah, it wasn't his weekend. Never mind, eh? Not bad. Any key parts of the race that you thought stood out? I mean, the pit stops, were the pit stops crucial for McLaren, or were Jensen and Lewis just too damn fast?
Well, Vettel had a moment coming out of the pits when he was battling with Alonso, didn't he? I think it was his second stop. Right. He was fighting for position with a Ferrari.
Yeah, he came out afterwards?
Or did just after? Just after, I think it was, yeah. But then they were sort of battling on, you know, on the track because they were that close. Yeah.
That was on their first pit stop. Both of them was on lap 18.
Mm.
They came out pretty much together.
Anything else that really stood out as a key part or a turning? I mean, that's the thing, is, you know, you're looking for key moments that turned races. This race never turned.
No, I think, I mean, it was decided by the first corner, I think, in terms of the winner. I mean, the rest of them, it was pretty much, I mean, unfortunately, Jensen didn't manage to hang on to things, which is a shame after he got past Vettel, that he couldn't actually just, you know, keep it going. But obviously, it wasn't.
You could almost sense when he passed Vettel, he's like, yeah, this is revenge for Hockenheim.
I thought it was a good start, actually. I mean, Hamilton is obviously, and the McLarens have done a lot on their race control, their kind of launch control, because he just shot off and almost overdid it and kind of went into the first corner a bit overheated. Mm. Button took the opposite approach and went quite steady into the first corner, a lot calmer. And that's how he got Vettel, because Vettel kind of overcooked it in and then flew out on the exit of the corner. So it was a good start by the McLarens, both of them, really.
I mean, if you look at the start positions for all of the drivers compared to their end positions for the race, Hamilton's one for one. Raikkonen moved up from fifth to second. Grosjean went down to two. Vettel went from three to four. He's gone down. Alonso's gone up one. Button's gone backwards two places. Senna's gone up two places. Webber's gone up three places. You know, there's very little sway from the grid position there. They've stayed very consistent. Massa dropped from seventh to ninth. You know, the grid is playing a huge part in final result in this. You know, apart from last race where there was a lot of nip and tuck over who was coming out, and it's a fantastic race. This one was very pedestrian. Is there a need for redesigning the tracks that they go around at the moment? Because you look at China, you know, that produced a decent race because it's not classic corners that are straight right-handers, left-handers. You know, you've got spiralling corners that gradually tighten or gradually expand. So finding the racing line is an awful lot different. There's more than one racing line, so therefore there's more opportunity to pass on the outside or on the inside. Do you need a wholesale change of some of the circuits? I mean, Silverstone, for example. I mean, it's awful race.
I mean, under the new layout, you know, it was of Silverstone. It was meant to promote overtaking, wasn't it? And we've probably seen less since it changed.
I tell you what, I'd like to see if we're talking about fancy F1. You know, it's quite exciting when the pit lane comes back into the main lane, and you're then trying to work out which if person X is taking a position through the pits, and they come and join back together. You should have a bit more. Have you played that game on? Is it Wipeout, where you have different lanes and they all come back together? So rather than just a single track, you can have different lanes and them overtaking and coming back together more than once just through the pit lane. That would be good fun.
Why don't you?
Well, you asked about redesigning the tracks.
Why don't you just do a crossroad with no lights? That'll be fun.
That would be good fun.
200 miles
Massa
an hour
would like that.
And trying to judge it like the red arrows.
Yeah, where is it? There's a couple of tracks where they actually have the track goes over the top of another bit of the track. Singapore and where's
Suzuka.
The other one?
Suzuka.
Suzuka is like a figure eight.
Isn't Valencia got that bridge as well?
Yeah, just take out the bridge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to drive. That's what I was driving at.
Maldonado will do that for you.
He's the one you definitely let go. Okay, no, don't worry. You know, Pasty, you know, okay, no, I'll let you go first. You know, I want to finish this race.
Did anyone ever play F1 97, the game of it, where you could actually put a cheat in and it turned it into wipeout mode on it?
No.
And you got fantasy tracks.
You got the gamer podcast now.
That'd be cool, though, wouldn't it? Definitely cool.
Yeah.
Top three, then. It's Hamilton, it's Kimi, it's Grosjean. Good finish.
Very good result for the championship.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I thought it was quite interesting that Alonso's tactics when he was being talked to by Sky said, well, you know, I did okay today, and what's important is I'm ahead of the person next to me. And that's all he was looking for. He just wanted to stymie Webber and keep him behind him. And he's opened up to more than a race win now, which is important for him too.
Yeah, he extended his lead, didn't he? And that, I think that was his main aim in the race, probably, was to stay ahead of Webber, even if he knew he couldn't win. He probably didn't want to be behind the Lotus as well, but yeah. I think he'll take that.
You got Fernando on 1.64, Webber on 1.24, so there's a 40-point spread there. Vettel's on 1.22, and then Hamilton back on 1.17. We're at the halfway stage of the season. Are we going to call a winner?
We've had 11 out of 20, I think. Yeah, it's roughly halfway.
No, we've had 10, haven't we?
I think it's 11.
10 was halfway. This was,
if it was 11 or 10, I still couldn't call a winner.
Yeah, still halfway. No, it's too soon. But Alonso, I still think he's the man to beat. He's got a 34-point lead, but he's awesome. I know he wasn't that great this weekend, but you know, he just settled for the points, and
he did what he needed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did what he needed to, and if he keeps doing that this season, you know, he will be looking. It will be more defensive now from him, because he won't want any non-finishers at all.
I'm going to put a stake in the ground and say Fernando Alonso is going to be this year's champion. Definitely. He looks too canny at the moment. The only person I think that will topple him is if Kimi starts hitting podiums, because he is a canny enough racer to take it away from him at this late stage.
But you've also got a resurgent Lewis.
As well,
So that could end up a three or four-way with Vettel, maybe, at the end of it.
I think he's Lewis.
That's the other thing as well, sorry, is that you've got five or so races, and Button as well, if we included him, that are really going for it to win as many races as possible. So just like this weekend, it could turn out that Alonso is finishing fifth, sixth going forward, because you've got all of that the other group really pushing it. So I don't think you can call it. I'd place a tenner against you and Alonso.
Right. I'm not doing bets with you, because every time I do bets with you, I bloody lose.
We know where bets have gone on this network before, mate.
I mean, I don't know what the official odds are. I don't know what the official odds are, but I can't imagine they would be that short on Alonso, because, okay, he's got a 40-point lead and he looks like, you know, he's got the bit between his teeth, but we've already seen, what, 7 winners out of 11 races this year? That doesn't exactly... okay, Alonso's won 3 of them, but, you know, that's not exactly... a domination like Vettel did last year, is it?
I mean, if you look back to, like, 2009, when Jensen won how many races in a row at the beginning, and then his form just dropped off, and he barely scraped it, really.
Yeah.
I love betting.
I've just gone to betfair.com. I can't work out what the bloody... I can't work out what the odds are. At the moment, I think they're saying Vettel. Alonso second, Hamilton third, Webber fourth, Raikkonen fifth, Rosberg in sixth, which I think is a stupid bet, and Jensen Button in seventh, Grosjean in eighth.
I love the other races, the other things that you can bet on. The first lap retirements, how many there will be. Safety car, how many times it will come out. Points finish. First car to retire. Oh, I bet who's favourite on that? HRT is the favourite. A Mercedes third.
What website would
be really interesting is to actually see who do we think will win the constructors' title.
Odds checker,
Red Bull, because they've got two people in the hunt. No one else has.
I suppose, but so have Lotus as well.
They need to start podiums, though. That's the trouble.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that will come, and when they do, I think they'll keep coming. And I think that it could be between Red Bull and Lotus for the constructors' title, with Ferrari taking the drivers' title.
Yeah, I mean, there was the point where Lotus overtook McLaren in the constructors' rankings, wasn't there?
Mm.
Was that at Silverstone, I think it was?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to finish it, because I think the problem that you've got at the moment is that Lewis is definitely in it. If he's going to win, he needs Jensen to fly wingman. Jensen's maybe not going to give in, but he's too far behind, I think, to take Alonso on. Only Lewis can finish up and take him on. And that's the point, is that all the teams seem to have one person in the hunt, and the rest are close, but not close enough, apart from Red Bull, because they're second and third. They've got that real option, and Lotus, but Lotus have got to start beating other drivers consistently. Grosjean's got to start hitting podiums regularly, otherwise they're not going to do that. Alonso's currently showing 11-10 at Ladbrokes. Sebastian Vettel showing 3-1. Hamilton 6-1. Webber 14-1. And I think that's not a bad outside bet of those odds. Yeah. You'd stick a tenner on, wouldn't you? And Raikkonen 16-1, which again is a good outside bet. You'd stick 20 on that as well, perhaps. So, good ones.
I'd like to put some money on Weber coming higher than Vettel.
There's got to be ability to do that.
Yeah. I can actually see that as a possibility as well, with the way this year's been going so far.
You're all wrong, says Jenks in the chat room. HRT is going to sweep up both championships.
it's that Karthikeyan. He's just going to blitz it, isn't he?
And iBookery says the same trophy maker made the Olympics medals. Apparently, a Brazilian athlete showered with his medal on and it broke.
It's true. Judo guy.
He was probably showering aggressively.
Sorry, judoka.
Right. Magic moments. Tony, what was yours?
I think it was Vettel and Alonso battling out of the pit.
Yeah, only magic moment that there was, perhaps.
Yeah,
I'm feeling like the pressure at the moment.
You're feeling the pressure because there's not an awful lot else to talk about.
If somebody nicks my magic moment, there'll be trouble.
Because there is only two.
I was thinking exactly
the
same thing.
Have I already done this? No.
Well, you're next, Steve, so now's your chance.
Steve, if you nick mine, there'll be trouble.
I know, I've got servers.
I bet you have as well. Go
on then, mate.
When Vettel gets on the radio and says, "Help! I'll do something!"
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it?
But it's not serious.
Don't panic, Mr. Mannering.
Yeah, don't tell him your name, Vettel.
I think it is tending to show that he's throwing his toys out of the pram at the moment.
He's a weak git. Right, I'll have him on the any day. I'm not scared of him. I'm scared of Bernie, but I'm not scared of Vettel. And Sarah, yours.
Thank you, Steve, for not picking mine. I actually tried to keep mine to actually racing incidents, and mine was definitely, which is the best moment of the race, was Raikkonen coming out of the pits on lap 45 and taking Grosjean. It was brilliant because it was car-to-car stuff and heart in your mouth if you're a Lotus mechanic.
Not Maldonado hitting the rest of them.
No.
I'm going to do one magic moment, and I'm just going to give a little bit of kudos to McNeish as well, because he impressed me with his analysis this weekend, definitely on Sky. My magic moment was actually in practice, or in qualifying, rather. And you know, you always get this thing where they talk about, these cars are more like fighter jets than they are cars, and you know, the split second, the millionths, the fag paper width between the wall and the tyre and that kind of stuff, and they're on the edge and they could go at any time. And I thought, Lewis Hamilton had one qualifying lap where all of a sudden he had a little bit of a wobble and he realised the lap was gone, so he thought he'd save the tyres and he slowed down. And they went back and looked at him and he just hit a tiny puff of dust just on the previous corner, just left it off the curb too long. That little bit of dust came on, coated the wheel in dust, and you could see immediately afterwards that it was that wheel that slid, because you saw it over-rotating compared to the other one. And you kind of like... That was like a little puff. That was like on the grass for an extra 20 centimetres too much. And that was the difference between a good qualifying lap and nearly crashing it. And that was a magic moment for me, because I sat there and thought, they are really on the edge. This really is a game of hair's breadth.
Did they have a super slow-mo shot of that as well? To show just
wow.
It was very, very good, very well done. And McNeish also was brilliant in his analysis. They were talking about why Weber wasn't doing so well, why he wasn't qualifying, and he said he's just got no confidence in the car, and you can see it in the lines that he's taking through the corners. And they just went on board with Weber, and you could just, he said, look at the difference here. There's a meter, 2 meters between the apex of the turn and Vettel's and Weber's wheels, and then you see Hamilton here, and Hamilton is crisping every single apex. And he said that's the difference between pole and 10th. And it was great analysis, really, really good, McNeish. Well done. And I've got to say, I'm really loving F1 coverage on Sky. I didn't think they could top BBC's, because BBC's was so good last year, but they have. I'm sorry. And Jake, where were you, mate? Because I'm sorry, I love the girl that's in there, but she's a pit lane girl. She's not a host. You got to get your ass back out there and stuff the Olympics.
I actually think she's doing pretty well.
No, she's fine, but she's a pit lane girl. She's an analysis. She's a question asker. She's not a host.
Is she really a pit lane girl?
Yeah, she does the pit lane reviews. Yeah, she's very good at
doing that for various different networks for quite a few years now. Right?
But she's very good at that.
I think she's done good.
She's got the confidence, and, you know, I think she's done a really good job last two races.
No, she's I think she's great when she asks questions, and that's the point. She's good at asking the questions. She's not good with coming out with pithy comments and pulling the show along as a host. She's a question asker. That's my point of view.
Okay.
But she's good at the question asking. There you go. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without the fantastic UK2. You can get all of their services at uk2.net. You can go through our website, and if you do, we get the kudos for sending you, so please do. And also, if you go on the sponsors page on our website, it'll give you all the codes that you can get, and you can get some mammoth deals with UK2. Anything for web, you've got to go and see these guys. Look at what the prices are like, and they're fantastic. I've bought some websites this week. Fiverr for 2 years of a .co.uk. Just wonderful. Give them a go. Go to britishtechnetwork.com first. Click on the logo. We get the kudos for sending you. They honour the offer codes that are on our page, and everybody wins. Please look after them, because they picked up an awful lot of bandwidth this month, an enormous amount of bandwidth. So we are extremely indebted and grateful to them. UK2.net, thanks very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Blunt?
At Tone_720 on the Twitters.
Thank you, sir. Well done. Mr. Neighbour.
Well, I'm going to enjoy the August F1 break.
Yes, we have got a break. And it is a proper break, isn't it? When I was at Marussia, I asked them about the break, and they said, yeah, because all the servers have got telltales on them, so they send data back to Bernie, who analyses the servers, and he shuts the servers down. You physically cannot have the servers for 2 weeks. You have to go away. There is nothing to do. They're not allowed.
Yeah, it's good. I'm on the Twitters, and if anyone's going to the Boardmasters Festival, which is where I'm going for the next week or so, I'll see you there, maybe.
You are you're turning out to be a boy, you know, a wannabe EMF lover again in the 80s, aren't you?
Utah Saints are there.
You got your VW camper van.
We're hiring a camper van, yeah.
And you're going to go out, get cold and wet, and catch E. coli.
Absolutely, and eat lots of food that is probably going to kill me, like kebabs at lunchtime or something like that.
I would never do that. I just wanted to remind you, you suggested that, not me. I haven't had any tea.
You were the one
either.
Who stopped outside the kebab house.
Well, yeah. I haven't had any tea, though, to be fair.
I'm on Steve Neighbour at Twitter.
Thanks, mate. And Ms. Gray?
I'm also on Twitter at Sarah Jane UK. And we've got quite, I think it's 5 weeks now.
The 31st. It's 4 weeks. 28 days.
22nd of September is the race,
Not 22nd of September. Practice is in 28 days. Practice one. 28 days, 10 hours, 49 minutes, 25 seconds, 24, 23, 22.
Oh, he's 21. Got a ticker.
There we go. We'll see you again next time. Enjoy the break from F1, and you'll be longing for it when it comes around again in September. I know I will. Can't do it. And the rugby season has started then as well. Thanks for watching. See you next time.